So words matter, right? Concord Elementary School, 500 years ago when I was there, one of our teachers taught us this song. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you've sung it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. Want to bet? Exactly what she said. Did you hear that chorus? It's beautiful. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words, that means, you know, you can hurt me physically, but you can't hurt me in here. Want to bet? How come it's you get 100 compliments and then one person says your mustache is ugly and all you think about is that one person and about my ugly mustache? What's that about? Why do we let that stuff live rent-free in our heads? I don't know about you. Words can leave marks and scars upon us. That's why psychiatrists and psychologists and pastors stay in business. Because of what we internalize. We know intellectually that people who put us down and belittle us and make jokes at others' expenses, it's about their own insecurity. We get all that, but words matter. Is it just me? But it seems like all the stuff that's out there, there's a constant stream of put-downs, a constant stream of making humor at others' attempts. There's name-calling. There's what? Labeling. On and on and on and on. Fault-finding in other people. It's almost as if we're getting advanced degrees of taking other people's inventory of their character defects. Right? Okay. Uncomfortable part of the sermon. Ready? How are you doing? Time for a little personal inventory. How are you doing with your words? You know, what you read and what you see and what you hear and what you say and what you post. How are you doing with your words? Are they words that build up others or is it tearing down others? Words. You ever had one of those moments when you hear this addressed to you? It hasn't happened to me since this week in the hallway. I'd like a word with you. And then, of course, your mind goes places. Okay, who did I offend this time that I'm not aware of? It's a daily deal. Okay, did I do something wrong? How do I get, does he want to ask a favor of me? Does he want to give me a gift? What's the, you know, our committee gets together. I got a word for you. Well, guess what? What does God say for us today? Pastor Dixon just read it. I got a word for you. What on earth does God want to talk to us about today? Well, how about words that comfort us and build us up? You heard them. Maybe you read along. That Isaiah text. How about this for name calling? Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Yes. Building up. And what did Pastor Rudd focused on last week? It was Emmanuel. God is with you. God is with us. Not may God bless you, but God blesses you daily. And then how about that John text that Pastor read? 1 John 14. We're comforted and we're healed and given new life from what? The Word becoming flesh and living among us, and from His fullness we have received grace upon grace. All of us have received grace upon grace. The Word becomes flesh and lives among us. God is with us in the midst of things, life things, your stuff, my stuff. We are not alone. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Jesus with us. When we're hurt and depressed and sick and when bad news comes, or especially when you hear that six-letter swear word, cancer. When we feel guilty and ashamed. When we're worried about someone that we love or worried about the current state of affairs in our world, God is with us. God is with us when we get caught up in the chain of events that we're powerless to prevent. The good news of Christmas is that God in Jesus Christ has not kept himself separate from our world and from our thoughts and sorrows and pains and actions, but he comes right here, right now, in the middle of it with us. Emmanuel, God is with you. Story. Maybe you've heard this one. I found it. I don't remember where. A guy named Dr. John Rosen was a doctor psychiatrist at a hospital, and he did something amazing. Unlike all the other doctors who were aloof and separate from their patients, this guy, Dr. John, moved in with the patients on their psychiatric ward. Brave. He placed his bed among their beds. He lived the life that they must live. Day to day, he shared it with them. If they didn't talk, he didn't talk. It's as if he understood what was happening. He was just there. And that communicated something to the patients they hadn't heard in years. And then he did something amazing. He understood them and then said this. He did something strange. He put his arms around the patients and hugged them. Yeah. This doctor, who's got a string of letters behind his name, right? Letters with high degrees, high skilled, high paid, was like a god to these patients. These patients who he had control over their lives. He held those unattractive, unlovable, sometimes incontinent patients, and he loved them back to life. Often, when the patients who had been unable to speak spoke their first words, these were the words that they heard. Thank you. Thank you. And isn't that what God does for us at Christmas? God, through Jesus Christ, comes to us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He has become part of our lives with all of our confused priorities and aching bodies and torn and bleeding spirits. Christmas tells us what? That God is not aloof and standoffish. He is in the world with us. That's right. He has come to hug us and tightly hold us, even though our sin may make us unattractive and unlovable. He loves us still. Jesus was born. The world became flesh and showed us the heart of God. It's a heart that throbs with love for every single one of us. Someone put it this way. Jesus doesn't come with vague, abstract descriptions of love. Jesus is love. In the beginning, the creator of the universe, with all those countless stars and planets, right, is born in a stable in Bethlehem, became human, visible, the Word of God. God in human flesh lived among us, and in his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. God bless you. It's really nice to be with you. See you next week.